Tonight, go ahead and open your Bibles up to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. This is a portion of scripture that I cut my teeth on for a number of years, very early in my Christianity. And, you know, when I first got born again, I got a hold of the word of faith, got a hold of the word, and a very dear saint, her name was Marcia. Marcia De Benedictus was her name, and I understand that she's gone on to be with the Lord now, but she was the one that gave me a Bible. She had children that were about my age, a little younger than me, and her husband sang in the choir at the church where we were a part, the Catholic Church at the time. But anyway, she gave me this Bible to use. Now, she didn't give it to me for good. I mean, she wanted it back. It was a Kenneth Hagin or Kenneth Copeland reference edition Bible. And then, of course, I've bought how many of these since that. But this was one of the first portions of scripture I ever saw in the Word of God. I didn't know the Word was so enlightening. I didn't know that. And she introduced us to the Word after I had been saved, received Christ earlier of that year in 1979. And was born again, and then baptized in the Holy Spirit in the fall of 79. That was pretty neat. And man, I've been going strong ever since. But this portion of scripture is dear to me. So let's begin in verse number 19, back up to 19. Mark chapter 11, verse 19. And when even was come, he went out of the city, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Now Jesus had cursed that fig tree, remember? And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, Have faith in God, or have the faith of God. For verily or truly, anytime you see that there, verily, verily, it's truly, truly, that wording is used in the King James. It's literally saying this is an absolute truth. There's no deviating from it. There's not even a speck of unbelief or untruth or false doctrine in it at all. It's just a way of emphasizing that. For verily I say unto you, whosoever, anybody in here, are you a whosoever tonight? Is anybody a whosoever? I think whosoever covers the gamut. I think whosoever means whosoever. That's major revelation, Pastor Dan. That's right. That whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. There is the barb on the statement, if you will. Because he's saying, if you will say, if anybody will say, and I can imagine Jesus sitting there and he turns over and sees a mountain and says, if any of you would say to this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and would not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Very interesting. You can't doubt in your heart, but believe that the things which you're saying will come to pass, you'll have whatsoever you saith. Well, that one has hung up a lot of people over the years, and they think, well, I've been saying this. Well, yeah, but are you in a position of doubting? Are you doubting in your heart? Now, the word heart right there does not mean spirit, because to doubt, hang on to this, to doubt is sin. Because to doubt is something that's not of faith, right? And whatsoever is not of faith, what is it, Romans 14, verse 23, is sin? What did the children of Israel come back with? An evil report of doubt when they went in to spy out the land? Do you remember that? And they came back with the Bible called it an evil report of doubt. The Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. So if you don't have faith, what do you have? Doubt. He's saying doubt not in his heart. Heart does not always mean spirit in the New Testament, just so you realize that. Heart can mean spirit. It can also be the word cardia, actually, in Greek, means the mind, will, and emotions. The heart can also be a combination of the spirit and the soul. Because Israel, if you'll recall, had a divided heart. And that's possible to have a divided heart. You're believing something in your spirit, man, and your head is going, So we all can realize how that could be. where you could have doubts going on up here, and you're believing here in your spirit, man, and so you got this battle going on, and so you're trying to confess the word, and your head is going, you dummy, look what you're doing. But down on the inside, you're going, this is right, this is right. This is what the word says. There's the battle. So when Jesus is saying, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe, what does that mean, but shall believe? Oh, well, now, Pastor Dan, so does that mean I'm just using my mind, and it's mind over matter? No, no, no. What I would suggest is that you look at that and realize that doubting not in your heart, but believing means agreeing in your soul with what's coming up out of your spirit. The spirit and the soul need to agree together. The spirit man is born again. When you are born again and the spirit man receives that seed, that incorruptible seed that 1 Peter chapter 1 talks of, I'll tell you what, that's not the problem anymore. When you hear the word, it goes in through the ear gate. It's filtered through the mind. Many times we filter it through experience. Yeah, well, I heard that. Your spirit man will grab the word. Your spirit man will grab a hold of the word. It's your mind that needs the renewing and the repetition. And that's where this comes into play. Doubt not in his heart, but will believe. In other words, you got to get your mind renewed with the word of God so that it's not constantly fighting what's coming up out of your spirit, man, that you've heard. And if you will do that, this is where when you start confessing the word, start speaking the word, things start happening. You notice Jesus had a lot of suddenlies in his ministry? You ever notice that? He speak the word and the person get healed. He'd speak the word and this would happen and that would happen. He'd lay hands on somebody and the dead were raised up. He called Lazarus forth out of the tomb and the dead rose up. He reached over and touched the widow at Nain, her son who was in the casket that they were carrying. And the boy raises up from the dead. Come on! Jesus was plugged into the power like none other. But does that mean that you and I cannot be in his name plugged into the same power that he walked in? Yes, it does. And it means that because Jesus himself said, the works I do, you're going to do too. And not only the works I do, but greater works than these shall you do. But here's the key. Man, your head can't be filled with all this doubt and all this reason. Ooh, we're supposed to cast down reasonings, remember? The doubt and the reasoning and all the things and the imaginations that go on. That's the battlefield, guys, right between your ears. Your spirit man readily grabs the word. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's why, you know, the fight to not go and hear the word ends up through a reasoning faculty that we come up with. Well, I need more rest, so I can't get up and go to church. Or I have to do this, and this is the only time I can do it. You know what? That's the biggest lie the devil has thrown at the body of Christ, is that you're too busy to go to church. You got too many more important things. What a lie. What a lie. Your spirit man, you know, can get to the point where, you know, you want to hear the word. Your spirit man's hungering and craving after the word, but because your head has become the part of you that rules and reigns, and not being moved by your spirit, by God's spirit on the inside of your spirit, you can start reasoning things and get calloused, and come up with an excuse every time. And at some point, it doesn't even bother people. Doesn't bother them to, you know, skip out on their time with God. I mean, it ought to bother the believer to not have time with the Lord. Or I would suggest possibly those people that it doesn't bother, they have become so calloused or they never were believers in the first place. I know that's heavy, but it's really true. We need to hunger and thirst after righteousness consistently. Now go on here and look at this. It says, he shall have whatsoever he saith. There's some things on that we just talked about. You shall believe that those things which you say will come to pass. You're going to have whatever you say. So get off of the having to try to understand and figure out everything. No, start saying what God is saying about you. Renew your mind with the word and learn how to cast down the doubt when it tries to rise up in your thoughts. Verse 24 says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now we all love that verse. When we're praying and believing for something, we, you know, whatsoever things you, therefore I say to you, whatsoever things, it's worded differently in some versions, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And that's what people center and focus on. I'm going to have them. Now, wait a minute. Again, check your motive for wanting what you're asking God for. Motives are important. Absolutely. This message is a message, and I looked at the date on it. You know, I have literally thousands of messages that I have written over the years. Now, I'm going to tell you this and let you in on a little secret. I wrote this message on March 25th, 1990. Isn't that interesting? You know how long ago that was? I'll tell you exactly. 30 years, 1 month, and 4 days. 949 million seconds or something like that. I looked online and you can do that. Type in a date from this date to that date. How many minutes? How many months? How many days? That's a lot of time, man. That's over 30 years ago. And as I said to Ann, I said, you know what? I went in and I pulled this sermon out that I have, it's been on my heart to preach some of these things. It's as relevant today as it ever was in 1990. Guess what? We're preaching from a book. How old is this book, you guys? Come on. I mean, this Mark 11 wasn't written in 1932 or something, you know. I mean, golly, 2,000 years? 30 years sounds like nothing compared to over 2,000. And in the Old Testament scriptures, more than that. But I got to looking at that and I thought, boy, time flies when you're having fun. And I go back and I look at certain messages that I preach. I remember preaching them. And some of them are 25 years ago, you know. And it's like, how in the world can this be? That, you know, we're all getting older. I know that, but good night. So I went in here and then, of course, I added some things that the Lord had shown me to add. Now, your confession and your faith are tied together, okay? And you are never going to rise above your confession. Write that down. You will never rise above your confession. I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you have been in the Word. If you're saying one thing with your mouth and you think you're going to go another direction, your confession is that comes forth out of you and it reveals what, in fact, you are believing. Now, some folks go around and say things they shouldn't be saying all the time and are trying to believe for other things. And, you know, it just doesn't work. You talk about frustrating. You can't say one thing one day and turn around and say another thing the next day and have it work. It does not work like that. If you're believing God, if you are standing on the Word, then what's coming out of your mouth is going to be an indicator of what you really believe. What you confess with your lips really does control you. And you're not going to go any higher than what you're confessing. Hold your place here and look at Proverbs chapter 6 quickly. Proverbs chapter 6. Love this. Proverbs chapter 6. Get to it. You ever have those days where you flip open in your Bible and you're like, you know, I sat down a few days ago in my devotion and okay, I was going to go here and I didn't have a marker in it and I reached in my Bible and I went like this and I turned right to it. And I'm like, all right, thank you, Lord. This is good, saving me a little time here of frustration of trying to find it. And then I'm not teasing. The next verse, I needed to go to the next verse of scripture and I just went kind of like, oh, right there, boom, I'm right at it. I'm like, whoa. And today I had to hunt and search for a verse. Like, where is it? I mean, I knew where the book was. I'd grab and I'm thinking I'm getting close and I'm 10 books off still, you know, and finally I got to it. But anyway, Proverbs 6, look at verse 2. Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. How much clearer does it have to be? Now, verse 1, he's talking about if you're a surety for your friend, if you have stricken thy hand with a stranger, you'll end up being snared with the words of your mouth. What's the principle? Well, you go ahead and back somebody up on something and give your word on it. Become surety on a note. You ever co-sign for something? Your signature, if they default on it, guess who gets stuck with it? The one who co-signed. You know, it was funny when we bought the land out here. We bought 6 acres of land. We had, it was a 20, what did we need? $27,000 was what the land was out here, right? And to get that note on the land, I don't know, we had some money down. We probably had $5,000 down. Or seven or something. Anyway, we needed like a 20. No, it was five. We had five down, I believe it was. And we needed $22,000, okay? A new church, not a whole lot of income. We had to have four co-signers. This is funny now to me. We had to have four co-signers on a $22,000 note. Are you teasing me? I mean, my goodness sakes, that is, it's funny now. It wasn't funny at the time. I was like, serious? You don't trust us? You know, we don't trust you is what it was. And those same people at the bank are my friends now, of course. And but it's interesting how that happened. And we had the co-signers. And I told the vice president that I was dealing with, I said, we will pay this off in less than a year. Okay. And after I said it, I was like, why did I say that? But do you know, it just rose up in me. And $20,000 in less than a year, when the income for the church, I think the first year was a grand total of maybe $35,000. And we're going to pay 20 off in less than a year and pay us. And say, I mean, we were making boo at that time. I mean, it was crazy. But so 3 days before the year was up, 365 days on, not at December 31st, but to the date of when that note, it wasn't a one-year note, it was like a three-year note or something. I walked in and handed him the final payment to pay that off. And I said, ooh, that felt good. And Kenny's a friend of mine. I said, Kenny, here it is. He goes, whoa! I really didn't think you'd do that. I said, well, I had to rebuke doubt myself. But we paid it off in less than a year, about 3 or 4 days less than 1 year. And he said, okay, let's get going on the building. That's this building you're in tonight that we paid. And then took a note out on it and paid this building off. I mean, the property out here that we have as a church body, we started with $1,000 in the bank. $1,069, I think it was, something like that. And now we have property out here, and that building we're calling the WFC paid in full, too, and it's over halfway paid in full. We have over $1.3 million worth of property out here. And God is blessing, but the words of your mouth, listen to me. I have not told everybody that, or a lot of people. Now I guess I told everybody, but the fact is, confession of your lips and believing works. And in the face of situations that don't appear, you got to go with what you're knowing on the inside down here. Even though your head's screaming at you, you idiot, why did you say that? If it comes up and you know that you need to speak it out. And I did. And the bottom line is, it happened. So we praise God for that. Amen. But here, you can be snared with the words of your mouth. I mean, people go along saying, you know, one of these days, if a train doesn't hit me, ha, 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 I'll be at church, you know. You know, if the flood, how do people say that? If the river doesn't rise or something, you know, we'll make it to church. But you just never know. I'm like, come on, you guys. Praise God, man. These people that joke about getting killed in accidents or scared to death. Well, it just scared me to death. Why do people never say it scared me to life? Why is it always death? Tickled me to death. I heard of a guy. this guy. It's a true story. This guy died laughing. I came to find out, I did a little research on his, it's like his body got caught in like a loop. And it kept going. And he couldn't stop it. And eventually he had a heart attack from laughing. He couldn't stop laughing. Now somebody say, well, what's that? Well, he probably had been, somebody had been saying, or he'd been saying, you know, that just tickles me to death. People say stupid stuff like that. Slap yourself in the mouth if you've ever caught yourself saying something like that. I mean, we don't want to be snared by the words of our mouth. Oh, you're getting legalistic. Tell it to the guy that died laughing. No, I expect good things in my life. I expect good things in my family. I expect good things for this church and this church family. That's where my faith is at. That's what I'm saying over you. So that's a lot better than me saying, well, you just never know what's going to happen one of these days. No, I'll tell you what's going to happen one of these days. One of these days, the fruition of your prayers is coming. It's coming to pass. And hallelujah, that healing you're believing for will manifest. That financial miracle that you're needing is going to manifest. Those things are coming to pass. Hold steady with the confession of your lips. Amen. Your faith needs to be faith that takes. Psalm 141, you're back here in Proverbs. Jump back to Psalm 141 quickly. And this is something we need to pray and we need to keep this one front and center in our thoughts. Psalm 141, look at verse number 3. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Again, some Hebrew poetry. Set a watch, O Lord. You see that? Before my mouth. Keep, or parallel to set a watch, the door of my lips. Lord, remind me. And somebody said, well, I asked the Lord to remind me. He just never reminds me. It's because you don't spend enough time with him to remind you. This is, we need to get into a pattern of doing the word in our lives like we ought to. And just frankly, you have to resist temptations that will pull you away from walking in the light. Now, the illustration that I wanted to show you tonight is a pretty simple one. And because we're not all here and it would be easier to do when we had a bunch of people here and I'd put more on it. But for me to create a shadow, I've talked about this to the church before, but for me to create a shadow, all right, it would be better if I had one source of light, but I don't. I've got, I don't know how many lights are in here. There's a bunch. But in order for a shadow to be cast on something, for that shadow of mine to be hitting down here on the carpet right now, what has to happen? Something has to get between that light right above me and this portion of the ground right here. And I'm blocking the light that normally would just shine right here, right? Or if you go like this, is it creating a shadow on my face? Right? Why? I'm blocking the light. Now, this is not anything that is so profound, but yet it is. Now there. See, when I, those lights are bright. And I do this, it casts a, it's stopping the light. Something's coming between me and that light over there that's shining on my face in the back. Those are 600 watts apiece. And when something comes between you and the light, it puts you in the dark. Or shadows are cast. Now you just think about that for a minute. In order for a shadow to be cast, something has to pass in between the light and the object that the shadow's hitting on. Because the light is shining, but something's blocking it. Now it's having to go around it, but it leaves the imprint of whatever is blocking it, right? It's called a shadow. Well, I'll tell you what. cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, the lusts of other things enter in and choke off the word, the pursuit of happiness. Someone tell me, well, I want to be happy. Let me tell you how you can be happy. This is just a little clue. The Hebrew word ashrei is the word for blessed. In the Beatitudes, those are attitudes that should be in us, right? Blessed are, and then Jesus lists off. That literally means happy are those who do this. Happy are the merciful. Happy, blessed, any of those blessed phrases that Jesus used were in Matthew 5, Matthew 6, the Beatitudes. That is the key to your happiness, if you really want to know, is doing what he's saying in those portions of Scripture. That's where you're going to be blessed. Blessed means happy. That's where your happiness is going to come from. Well, I'll be happy if I get this. You know, isn't that amazing? You get something, and it's great when you get it. What's always the result of after you have something a little while? You want something else. I mean, I know I'm talking to a couple guys here that like guns, and I know that, and more than a couple. You get a gun, and okay, Chris, I'll use you, if that's okay. You get that new pistol you've been wanting, and the Lord blesses you, and you get a really great deal on it, and you've got it. And you have it for a little while. And I'm not saying that you don't like it, you know, and it's a great, and it's fun, and it shoots really nice, and oh, it just feels so good in your hand, and blah, 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 and so on and so forth, the same kind of stuff I say. And you go about 6 months to a year, year and a half, maybe it just depends on the person, depends on what store you go into, and you're going, ooh, I like that. Has it ever happened to you? Yeah? You? Yeah? Yeah? And it, okay, maybe not a gun, maybe this. Maybe a guitar, right, Austin? Yeah, we've got so many guitars, we can't play them all. But the fact of the matter is, you do that, and you get another one, and you get this, and when does it ever end? When I get the next one. Yeah, right, right. And we all know it doesn't end there. It just keeps going. At some point, you're going, you know what? I mean, I have resisted the temptation, and I'm still, in some ways, kicking myself because there was a Browning over and under I found for $1,100. Knew the guy wanted to sell, he wanted to get, he needed the money. I should have bought it, but I didn't. But, you know, I was that close to pulling the trigger. Ooh, literally. But she was along, and so that kind of put the, you know, you don't need that. You're right. Gee, yeah, I'll remind you of that next time we're in the makeup department or the whatever you want, right? Ooh, look at her. She's like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. She says, I'll show you. Yeah. Anne is really good. She is so frugal and good with money. It's a blessing. Praise God. Come on, we're going to wrap this up quick. So here he's saying, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. We need to be careful what's coming out of our mouths. Amen? We need to be cautious as to what we let block the light, let come between us and a fellowship with God. Because that's how the deceitfulness of riches enter in, and that's how the confession of the mouth begins to change back toward the lusts of other things, back toward material and worldly things. There's nothing wrong with having some things, but when those things start to have you and you can't live without them, now you're acting like a goyim, a Gentile, somebody who's without a covenant, without God. That's the way the world acts. I said, dog eat dog, I'll do anything to get ahead. I'll do anything I have to have the next things that I want, and I don't care who I have to step on. All that mindset. Well, we don't play that game, amen? So, but here's the key to getting that new gun. Here's the key to getting that new thing, whatever it is that you would like to have in your life. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek that first. Seek him out first, and all these other things will come into your life. Something some folks just flat have not figured out yet. And they put all their energy and attention into obtaining things. And in the process, their families are hurt. In the process, their physical health may suffer. In the process, their fellowship with God slows down and goes down to next to nothing. I mean, we need to keep first things first. Amen? That's the truth. Praise God. Faith is released through words and deeds. Now, it's built through the word. We know that, Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. One of the things that I put down when I was talking about this shadow that's created when something comes between you and the light, and think of it this way, something has come between you and your fellowship with God, and it creates a shadow or causes you to be in the dark. Well, when that happens, what we need to pray are those Ephesians prayers. Do you remember? Ephesians chapter 1, what is it, verse 15 through the end of the chapter. And then Ephesians chapter 3, I believe it's verse 14 through the end of the chapter. I wrote them down. Those are commonly called the Ephesians prayers. Yeah, that's right. Ephesians 1, 15 to 23. Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. And put the name of the person who's allowed that stuff, thing, whatever it is, to come between them and God. It's praying for them to have revelation and their eyes be opened, okay? I'm telling you, when people get caught up in stuff, they need their eyes opened up. Satan is the one who comes to blind the eyes of people lest they should see the glorious light of the gospel and repent and follow God. So we have authority over him. We have authority over blindness like that. Amen. But the fact is, somebody has to recognize it. And when things are constantly more important to a person than their fellowship with God, they've got a problem with things. Something has come and put them in the dark now. The revelation of the word is not alive to them. They're not seeing the light of the word like they should. Those prayers, put the person's name in those prayers that you're praying for. Maybe it's something you need to pray over your own life. Get on your knees and do that. And decide, I'm not going to be taken by things. I'm not going to give my life over to the pursuit of all this stuff. I'm going to pursue God and watch what happens when you do. Amen? Now, faith that takes, remember this, always speaks. So what are you saying? What are you saying over your life tonight? What are you saying over your finances? What are you saying over your body, over your families? What are you saying over your job? What are you saying over life in general? What are you saying about your parents? What are you saying about your in-laws or outlaws? Outlaws? In-laws or cousins and relations? What are you saying? What's coming out of your mouth? What is it? What are you saying about your body? Yeah, you know, this, that. Hey, I'll tell you what right now. I don't want people to show up on Sunday morning if they're afraid to be around people. I don't want them showing up. You know, you become a magnet for sickness, and I don't want to get blamed over it. I won't take the blame, regardless. But the fact is, I don't want people who have the least little inkling of fear. Pastor John and I were talking about this today. The least little inkling of fear. If you're afraid, you better stay home. I don't know how long you're going to have to stay home until the fear goes. I don't know. Who knows when that'll be? I'm not sure, but you're going to live your life in your house the rest of your life because of some little microscopic virus? No, I'm going to tell you something about that virus. I've said this all along. Man, I've got authority over that stinking thing. Now, I agree with being smart, and that's why we say, you know, you can bump elbows, greet people, but, you know, just the social distancing thing. We're going to encourage families to sit together and keep a space between yourself and somebody else. Don't be breathing on folk and spitting on people and all that. I know you don't spit on them on purpose anyway. But all that stuff, we're just going to walk there. But it's important. We were talking about this today. I remember ministering to a boy, and I was called by the family to come to the hospital over here in Stillwater. And he had something that was contagious. And I'd been praying in the spirit. I walked up there, and they were there, and the child was there, and they had asked me to pray. And somebody said, "Well, that was stupid, Pastor Dan." No, I had been praying. I walked in there. Wow, they didn't have any masks or anything. I said, I didn't come here to wrestle with a mask. I came here to lay my hands on that boy and pronounce health and healing and recovery over him. I did. He did. He was out there the next day. I never got anything. So, you know, and so I'm not saying that you should disobey rules and all that. I went up there. They didn't have anything there for me. And so it was going to be why we'd have to go hunt something. And I was like, forget it. Just let me lay my hands on him. I'll pray, and that'll be the end of it. And it was the end of it and the end of the sickness in his body, and he was let out the next day for crying out loud. Stuff like that has happened. I've laid hands on sick people. Somebody was saying to me the other day, is like, well, aren't you the least bit concerned? No, I'm not. I'm not the least bit concerned about sickness. I wash my hands probably more than most people. Ann has trained me that way. I mean, my mom raised me to be a clean person. But the fact is, we have that hand stuff in the car, at the house, and, you know, and we've got it. Trust me, we've got it. In her purse, right? I mean, and we do that because we shake a lot of hands all the time. I shake everybody's hand in the church. So it's going to be a challenge for me to not be shaking everybody's hand. You know, you've seen me stand back there, shake everybody's hand going out the door. Yeah, I wash my hands before I go and eat, but I'm not afraid of getting sick. But that's a key. That is a key, you guys. You can't be afraid, even the least little bit of, forget it. You're done. You need to stay away. You need to keep that mask on. You need to do this. You need to do that. I'm serious. I don't want anybody sick. And I can't make you think like me, but I'm telling you how I think. Amen. Amen. And I vow to think in line with this. So that's me, okay? Not everybody may agree with that. Don't worry about it. Just take care of yourself. Amen. Praise God. Lastly, the woman with the issue of blood, what'd she say? You remember? If I but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. She said, come on, what's going on in your confession tonight? What are you saying? Are you calling, Romans 4, verse 17, are you calling those things that be not as though they were? If you're not, you need to start. Well, you know, it's like, it feels like I'm paddling upstream. Well, you know, you get the power of the Holy Spirit involved, and it's like putting a motor on the back of your boat. You've been rowing. You've been paddling, and you're trying, and the current of life is going against you. And suddenly you put a motor on the back, now you're going, man. I mean, and that's where the power of God gets involved. Hey, it works better than paddling. Amen, I've done both. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Why don't we stand to our feet tonight? Faith is link to your confession. What are you saying? Are you aggressively saying what God says about you? Are you aggressively grabbing a hold of the word and taking the word and renewing your thoughts with it? Or are you letting things get between you and the light of God's word that cause you to be in the darkness? Hey, we need the light of the revelation of the word. If that's you tonight that has been allowing things to get between in between your fellowship with God, things block your fellowship with God, repent. Just ask the Lord to forgive you of that, and it's time for you to step up and start being consistent in the things of God in your own life. That's the bottom line truth. So there's not a one of us that we're not battled here. This is something that we all have to fight, staying committed to be a doer of the word every day. And don't get into that mindset, when I go to church, I'm going to do the word. No, you need to be doing the word all the time. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you tonight for the word. We thank you and give you praise tonight for our confession, and our confession being that of faith. We vow that we will say what you say about us. We vow that we will take a look at your word and let your word renew our thinking and think in line with that word and recognize when things arise in our thoughts that run contrary to the word. And cast down those imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And we will speak the word. And we will not be snared with the words of our mouth. The words of our mouth will line up with your word, Father. And I thank you for the things you have in store for not only those of us that are here tonight, but the entire church, the body of Christ. those that will step out and believe and trust what your word says. So I thank you for that, and I praise you for it tonight. In the name of the Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. If you all agree, say amen.